You're listening to Mostly Folk on WRPI in Troy. We started off with Hetty West, her new album on which she is helped by Bill Clifton. It's called Getting Out of the Country, and it was recorded in England and released in Germany, I believe. And we heard White House Blues, Little Sadie, Blow Your Gentle Winds, and Curly Headed Baby. Hetty, very importantly, is going to be at Lena's, Cafe Lena, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you'll have a chance to hear her, and it's always a great pleasure hearing her. Then we heard from Sarah Ogan Gunning, whom very few people have heard of, with a song called Made of Constant Sorrow. This is on a Folk Legacy album, and Sarah is from the mining area of Kentucky. She's made up a lot of songs about the hard life of a woman and the hard life that her family leads in an area like that. This was one of those songs that was written to the melody of the traditional Made of Constant Sorrow. And we heard the traditional one right after that, played and sung by Judy Collins on an Elektra album. After that, John Prine with Grandpa Was a Carpenter and The Accident. Then Pat Sky on his most recent record called Two Steps Forward and One Step Back with Many a Mile, Lucky Me, Perryville Reel and the Rock Island Reel, My Friend Robert and Frankie and Albert, and finally from the Country Gazette on their Rounder record called Don't Give Up Your Day Job, I Don't Believe You Met My Baby, Deputy Dalton, and Teach Your Children. And now, as promised last week, a real pleasure, a real treat for us all, we have with us in the studio, directly from the Women's Festival in Washington Park in Albany, which we have all come directly from which we have Mary McCaslin here. Mary has recorded for Philo Records. We played some of her songs on this program, so she's not completely unfamiliar. Welcome, Mary, and tell us something about yourself.
Thank you. I'm from Los Angeles, California. Way far away from, I know. I'm back here for the summer. I usually end up back here every summer, it seems like, working festivals, things like that. And just working around.
It's nice that there are so many nice festivals.
There's not any work out west. It's amazing. Amazing.
Don't they have any festivals of
the
kind that they
have? Probably the best festival in the country outside of Mariposa, which is the San Diego Folk Festival.
That's it, just
but
the one.
But that's once a year. And there's some places to work, you know. Mm-hmm. Small places, but I don't know how I existed making money out there as long as I did, honest to God, because you come back here and there's a lot more work and the pay's better, because so many of the places are subsidized by churches and schools and things like that. Back there, there's none of that.
Well, Lynn, we are the leaders of the nation. Do you hear that?
Oh, definitely. Why do you think all that there's so much? Well, see, you wouldn't realize it, but there's a lot more folk music back here.
Well, I'm glad that we have it. I can't really envision life being very pleasant without having much of it around, of any kind of music around, not just folk music. How did you come to get involved with folk singing and writing songs, if you feel like telling us?
I don't mind. I've always liked, country and western music, and I just knew that I wanted to play the guitar and sing. And when I was 15, I finally got a guitar. I babysat one whole summer and saved up my money, bought a cheap guitar. And I just started playing and singing. I'd always sang, you know, and just started working. As soon as I could start working gigs, I did. I've had many, many straight jobs, but I, you know, have always played music. And then I came back here. I'd been back here before a few years ago, and then I came back here again. A couple years ago with someone else, and then found out how nice it was and how much work there was and everything, which I kind of knew from the time I'd been east before.
You write some nice songs.
Thank you.
I mean, the words are nice, too, besides the melodies being pretty. Would you like to sing some anything for us?
Well, and then I'll open with a John D. Loudermilk song. John D. Loudermilk wrote Tobacco Road, if you remember the song Tobacco Road. He also wrote Abilene, but I won't hold that against him. G- gather round friends I grew up with. My old friends that I used to scuff with need you round me at this time. You've all had your misty eyes, old friends stood by to dry. Of mine, stand by me. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. Yeah, it's my turn to cry. Oh, yeah, it's my turn to cry. It's my turn to cry. Oh, yeah, it's my time. Gather round boys I played house with. Come here boys I first kissed on the mouth with. Need your tender words of kind. You've all had your misty eyes, old friends stood by to dry. Stand by me. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. Yeah, it's my turn to cry. Oh, yeah, it's my turn to cry. It's my turn to cry. Oh, yeah, it's my time. Stand by me. It's my time. Stand by me. It's my time. Stand by me. It's my time. Yeah, that's a great song. I've known that for years and I finally got around. I still confuse the words on it.
You do it very nicely. Yeah, very sweet voice. It's also strong. It sustains those, you know, long notes. That's something.
Well,
all that
just depends on breathing right. You
know, how can you have learned to breathe right coming from Los Angeles, where it's hard to breathe at all?
Oh, I don't know. I sang in choirs when mm-hmm. I was a kid. That's the greatest training in the world.
I guess it is.
Church choirs. But I sang.
Is that what your background is? Church?
Yeah,
singing?
I was Catholic mm-hmm. church. Oddly enough, you know, usually you think of people, you know, country singers and folk singers is singing in Baptist choirs or mm-hmm. Pentecostal or fundamentalist or something like that, but I'm afraid I know a lot of Catholic hymns.
Well, that's all right. That's one in favor of the Catholic Church.
Right, yes. It's exciting.
How about some of the songs that you have written? We've played, you know, some of your record on our program the past mm-hmm. few weeks, particularly since we knew you were coming on here. Uh-huh. We played a little bit more. I'd like to hear your songs.
Okay.
And I think some of our...
No,
any one that you feel like doing.
Okay, let me think of something from the record.
And then, you know, anything that you feel like talking about at any time, you just
Jay
talk up.
I'd sing Circle of Friends for her, so she's going to come down. I'll wait till she gets here.
Okay, you know. Fine.
So, let me see. I don't know, I can't even remember what's on the album. Isn't that terrible?
We'll show you a copy of the album.
Yeah.
Hey, Donald, do you want to hold up a copy of the album? You're going to be at the 8th Step Coffee House this coming Wednesday. This is at 14 Willett Street in Albany, and I believe Jim Ringer is going to be there with you and me.
No, I don't think
he is. Oh, he was scheduled to be there.
He was scheduled, but he's not going to be there.
Well, then, Mary McCaslin will be at the 8th Step Coffee House on Wednesday. I guess it starts at about 8:30, something like that. Wednesday is the night for the well-known or more professional performers at the 8th Step Coffee House during the summertime. They rearrange things because so many people go away on weekends, and they
did want to
have their more important performers when people could come and hear them. And mm-hmm. so it's Wednesday night.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know that.
Yes. I never know anything. I just appear.
Well,
when they tell me to come,
yes, people don't know.
I come in the door and say, I'm playing here tonight.
It's funny. Yeah, if you're playing here tonight, you must be, this is Tuesday, we must be in Belgium or something. Now, it's funny about knowing things. Usually, people don't know things until they're told to them by other people.
Yeah, I didn't know the Country Gazette was on Rounder Records.
You didn't?
No, they're from Los Angeles.
What?
Rounder Records? Well, they're not.
Don't we have one on Rounder?
I thought
the first one was on Rounder, and that the other one was United Artists. Oh, I beg your pardon, fellas. Well, okay. See, I didn't know that.
I was gonna say
know.
This is a song. I'll do Down the Road. This is off my album, and it's just about traveling around singing. Really, is all it's about. Doesn't have any heavy meaning. Sun is climbing high, burning into the day. So I'll wave goodbye, I'll be starting away. Brush away my doubts, what tomorrow will hold. Feeling fine for now, heading down the road. To a city to sing, about the trees and the winds. About the hills and the spring, and the river that bends. Through the rocky deep pass, and the puppies and ponies running through the grass and up and down the road. Doodaloo, doo-doo, doodaloo, doo-doo, doodaloo, doo-doo, doodaloo, doo-doo, doodaloo, doo-doo, doodaloo, doo-doo. In the dark they sit, and they holler out more. White smoke a wisp, from here to the door. Their admission they pay, for the stories they're told. Of a clear new day, only down the road. Heavy air at my back, lazy meadows ahead. In a book I keep track of the promises said. For my songs in a town that tomorrow will hold. Feeling better for now, facing down the road. Doodaloo, doodaloo.
Song.
Yeah. It's one of the few up songs I do, as a matter of fact. That one and then the one before that.
Makes you feel like just kind of, you know, jogging along,
drifting
smiling.
Along. Yeah. Drifting along.
You know, it might be sort of interesting to recall how this came about, you know, Mary McCaslin being here. I think it all started with a few weeks ago with Hank DeLeo's comments on our show about the Dave Bromberg concert, in which he felt highly critical of some of Dave's behavior and some things that went on, and he, you know, said so on the air, and we got a few phone calls. He got one threatening phone call.
Did you get phone calls?
Oh, there was one guy that called up. He was, he was very, very, very upset.
What happened to me, we were listening. I've been visiting my friend here in Arlington, Vermont, and he had your show on, and I thought, gee, a folk music show, how exciting. You know, there's one around here. And because there's so many folk clubs, you know, and you do a calendar, don't you?
Mm, yeah.
And that's real nice, you know. Because I never know what's going on. And if I don't happen to see the PSG calendar or something like that, I don't know. You know, well, anyway. So I was thinking, oh, isn't this wonderful? And then he launched into talking about David Bromberg. And I said, well, gee, what's going on? And he went through this thing about David not introducing Lynn Unger, who I know very well. And I know David, mm-hmm. you know. And now the thing that struck me was that I know David has kind of a reputation for that, you know, being a big male chauvinist and everything, and some of his songs are objectionable, but usually I don't like those kind of songs either, but I usually suspect that the people that sing the kind of songs that are either putting down women or showing, talking about all the women they've been with, it's really themselves that they're trying to enhance, and they're not necessarily trying to put down women in any way. But I didn't know,
that kind of thing is always hard to tell. We can project what we want to project about what people are, what their intentions are.
But anyway, he said that he didn't introduce Lynn, and I said, gee, I know he really likes Lynn and everything. He gave her a whole bunch of turquoise for going, they went out west, and she went with Jay, you know, because she's married to Jay Unger.
Right.
And
not introducing her. Apparently, she was I wasn't there, but Hank was. She apparently was the only musician who was the only woman musician there with the group, right? And she was the only one who was sitting off stage. Everybody else was on stage with Dave. And she even sang her part from off stage from a mic that was, you know, way off on the side or the back or something. And he felt that there was something wrong there, too. I wish I'd been there to see it.
I can't imagine. Lynn's an awful strong, opinionated. I like Lynn, and she's an awful strong person, and I can't imagine.
Maybe she didn't want to appear on stage with him
like that. And that was what struck me, was that knowing Lynn, and even knowing that David maybe could be capable of that, I didn't think in that instance he would, because it was Lynn.
Well, maybe she didn't want to be seen with him. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's too bad. I would have liked to have had the musical critique here, too, that was in the Washington Park Spirit a week or two ago, whenever it was, you know, right after the concert, that I thought musically was good criticism of David. Uh-huh. It really, you know, praised and built him up where he
He's
was
good
doing
showman.
Good. Very
I don't like
good.
Everything he does.
But,
you know, but then he probably doesn't like everything I do, so
right.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's, you know, a matter of choice and taste. But when it comes to a question of male supremacist attitudes and behaviors, you know, and so forth, that's something else. So it's just too bad that Hank couldn't make it back here in time to discuss it because he wanted
to.
Anyway,
like to
this is what started. And then Mary wrote a letter, and Hank replied to it.
I was really thrilled and delighted. Mm-hmm. But part of, you know, I thought, well, gee, you know, I got to get my 2 cents worth in on this because it's just too good to miss. I just felt so strongly about it. I've never written it. It's like writing a letter to the editor. I've never written a letter to the editor
You should.
Yeah, I should. And I thought also I'd really like to meet with you. You know, meet you and everything, and I thought, you know, both things was
right.
why I wrote the letter.
Glad you did.
But it was really funny.
I'm glad it resulted in this, and also in the fact that you were able to come today to the festival in Washington Park in Albany. That really turned out so nice.
It was
well attended. It was beautiful. It was a nice day,
it was
and
a lovely day.
So many people were there with different kinds of crafts and foods, and there were such nice performances of music and even such good, who likes speeches, but even speeches were nice, and Marianne Krupczak spoke very well. She's quite a gal, and I really feel very good that she came to that affair, because she's put upon to come to so many things, and she has to pick the things that she feels are important, right? And I'm just glad that she's the kind of person that felt it was important enough, because I wasn't quite sure. She's a good gal, but you're never sure.
Well, as like a working musician, if you know, people call me up and they want me to play for free, the last things I played for free for were the McGovern rallies.
Mm-hmm.
When I was staying at the Paytons in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
it'll be 2 years ago.
Well, we'll have to get someone to invite you to play for free for the benefit of the United Farm Workers.
When's that?
Whenever something happens, because I think that's something that,
that's something I think you'd feel strongly
about. There have been some good concerts, benefits for them. Very recently, Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie gave a very good concert in Albany for them, raised a lot of money. So we'll call on you. I have to tell the people right now that this is WRPI in Troy, New York, and we're talking with Mary McCaslin here on Mostly Folk, and I ought to stop talking and let Mary play and sing some more or talk some more, whatever.
Well, I'll do another song here. Maybe I'll do a song. I have to tune up again, folks.
All right.
It's very exciting. I play in a lot of open tunes. That was open D. For any of those of you out there who are interested. But
be surprised. There are numbers of people who are interested who in hearing this technical information.
Yeah. I'm gonna sing my newest song.
You mean nobody's heard it yet?
No, I played it today, but I mean nobody hasn't been put on a record or anything.
Oh, well, here we have it, folks. A first.
Off the record. Train songs are in this year, it seems. And, or these past 2 years or so. And most everybody, you know, like the City of New Orleans was a big hit record and everything. When I think of train songs, I don't quite think of that. I think of Bruce Phillips, Utah Phillips. Mm-hmm. He certainly does a lot of train songs, but I wrote this song. It's kind of a Bruce Phillips song, I guess. Not to say that he would say the same thing in the same way, but I was thinking of him when I wrote it. It's not about him, but it reminded me of his style. I guess I should say it that way. And it's called The Last Cannonball, and I don't know. I always liked trains, too. I liked them before I realized they were the end thing to like this year, I guess. I've always thought they were neat. I haven't ridden on a train in years. Sun sets behind the high mountains of the great continental divide. I sit here and wonder, is there one last great engine waiting to make one last ride? We live in a country of changes, where the labors of love are so few. The cowboy and horse, the big old black engine, they've all vanished in the light of the new. I remember the last time I saw you. I still hear the words that you said. You sounded like one of the sellers of progress, and love like the engine is dead. Somewhere out west I may find her. She'll give out her long weary call. Then I'll climb on board as she sits there a-steaming, and I'll ride on the last cannonball. And I'll ride on the last cannonball.
It is sort of Utah Phillipsy.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose I could just not introduce it as my own song and see how that could. That'd be an exciting rumor to start. I heard an interesting rumor today, I have to say, because it just really boggled me. I was very surprised. The woman that went on after me, she was tall, and she had shoulder-length hair, maybe, and I believe she wore glasses. And she played a little small Gibson guitar.
I don't know, right after you. I don't
recall. She wasn't right after me, but she was maybe two or three people after me.
Well, we can ask Jay when she gets here. I think she has a copy of the program.
Well, anyway, she was talking about Judy Hanske. And she was saying that Judy Hanske had died a few years ago of an overdose.
I haven't heard anything like that.
And I happen to know that Judy Hanske is alive and well.
Oh,
and
I'm glad to hear
that. I'm sorry. I can't stand it. I said to her, I have to ask you something. And I asked her what she said about Judy Hanske. I thought that I'd heard her mention Judy Hanske. And I said, did you or did you not say that Judy Hanske had died of an overdose? And she said, yeah, some friends of mine told me that. And I said, gee, I'm terribly sorry to tell you.
Oh, I'm delighted to tell you, right?
But she's alive.
Oh, and well.
Yeah.
Well, good. It's always good to clear up a rumor like that.
Yeah, it was really very strange.
Why do people start rumors like that?
Well, she just heard it from some friends of hers who were big Judy Hanske freaks, and like she said, gee, I figured they knew what they were talking about. And I said, yeah, well, you would, you know, but I know she's alive. I mean, unless since June she's kicked off, but she certainly hadn't before.
Well, okay, if anybody out there heard that rumor, we now put it to rest. Judy Hanske is alive and well and living somewhere.
I don't know where
she is. She's still singing.
She's in California. She was in a group called Rosebud, and they were, her and her husband, who's Jerry Yester, who used to be in the old MFQ, the Modern Folk Quartet, and he was in the Love and Spoonful for a while, and he produces records and all this and everything, but then they split up, and the group broke up because they were both in the group, and I don't know what all happened, but they, you know.
I haven't heard anything of her singing for
singing
a long
that
time.
Much anymore. I don't know.
Well, let's hear some more of your singing or talking.
Okay.
You had mentioned there were a couple of things before that you wanted to.
I did.
Talk about. Listen, you said something about recently having a good review of your record somewhere. Tell us about that.
Delighted. I was so thrilled. Bill Schubert, my friend good friend who runs Philo Records in Vermont, called me up the other day expressly to cheer me up and to tell me that he had just found out and had copies of it, or had a copy of the paper, that my record had gotten a good review in Rolling Stone. So yeah. It thrilled and delighted me. I thought, geez, this is a milestone in my life.
Well, that's great.
Maybe you mentioned in Rolling Stone.
Sell enough records to keep you going so that you can only accept jobs you want to accept.
That's exactly what I want to do. It's funny you should say that.
Are you sure that he wasn't just really pleased that Kenny Corp hadn't tried to shake him down for the review?
I don't know about that.
Shoes and parking lots. They own the Rolling Stone and Warner Brothers Records.
Oh, they own Warner Reprise.
They own all kinds of
stuff. Which is Asylum as well, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Warner, Reprise, Elektra,
Asylum, Elektra, the whole world, me,
amazing.
My right arm, your left foot.
I didn't know. You know, I heard that it was the shoes, and then other people say, no, it's a parking lot company in New York.
It's both.
Yes,
well, that's what
and
I
it's
thought.
Isn't it renting, auto renting, car renting, that kind of?
They do a lot of things.
I imagine so. I imagine it's like, we'll get you a car. What color do you want? What make? What year?
We'll get you a nation. How much money can you offer us for it?
Oh, God. Oh, well, anyway, I don't know. I only know that I got a good review,
well,
and I was
great.
Very thrilled. And the other things, I was just going to say two other things. Thursday night in Arlington, Vermont, I'm doing a concert. So if anybody's from the Bennington-Arlington area and can't get over Wednesday night to say hello, maybe they could come Thursday night.
Or even from this area, it's not that far.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful drive. I was up there
about
a week ago.
Arlington's real nice. Yeah. And it's 7:30 p.m. Thursday night. And it's on Route 313, which is, it's maybe
just
about
off Route 7.
It's about a half a mile from the junction of Route 7. And it's on, there's a sign that says West Mountain Farm.
Is that the road to West Wardsboro?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Not the one?
I guess not. Anyway, it's on the property of the West Mountain Farm. Actually, you just pull in the driveway and there's a big white house, and that's where it is. But it's Thursday night, 7:30, in Arlington, Vermont, on the West Mountain Farm property, on Route 313. And I don't know how many people are from the Bennington area that would be interested, but they could come by and say hello.
Well, I think we have listeners up in that area.
Yeah, I know you do. That.
And they'll get over there. And there's
right
one
there.
Right there.
I'm right here.
Well, and
right
he's
here.
Listening.
Right.
No, we get some mail from that area, and I'm sure that if they're listening, they will. I mean outside of you two people.
Outside
who are
of
here,
us, right?
Yeah.
You say, why don't you guys say
that? There's at least one or two other people up there who listen.
Yeah, it's nice up there. And then September 6th and 7th, I'm going to play at the West Bank, which is in Londonderry, Vermont.
Where is that?
I have no idea.
Do you know where that is? Is it up in the north of Vermont?
South Central Vermont.
South Central Vermont.
East of Manchester, Vermont.
Oh, well, that's not too
bad. I don't know if anybody goes up there or anything, but if they are.
Well, if they're listening up there, tell them where and when.
The West Bank, September 6th and 7th in Londonderry, Vermont. So I just thought I'd say those things.
Is that a club or a coffee house or just
no? It's not. It's a bar. But
a bar.
We just happened to wander in there the other night, and as it turned out, I had met the guy that is running it last year. I played at a ski resort at it wasn't snowing outside. It was a bluegrass type festival, and I met the guy.
A ski resort at a bluegrass festival. Okay.
Yeah, well, it was a bluegrass festival at a ski resort.
Okay.
They were just using it.
Mm-hmm.
There were no skiers about because there was no snow on the ground. But anyway.
Well, it sounds like you got a few busy weeks.
Yeah.
And then will you be staying around here? Will you be going back to Los Angeles?
I'm going back to California, I believe, in October, as it stands. It's always subject to change, but as it stands presently, I'll be going back in October.
Are you going back for a job of any kind, or just to go back and then see what happens?
As it stands now, I would like to come back after the first year. I'm going to do another record for Philo. I just haven't gotten it together enough to do it. So I said, well, if there's no hurry. And they said, no, let's wait till you're ready.
Have you written any songs that have particularly to do with, something like what happened today, the Women's Festival, with problems of women or solutions for problems that women have or humor or, anything like that that has to do with?
Well, no, not in so many words. Mm-hmm. I've written songs about my dealings with people and my dealings with men and things like that.
I guess that's part of it.
I've never been capable of just generalizing, and I would have to have something happen to me and be able to put it in a song, and maybe it would come out as a woman's song. My songs are women's songs just because they're written by a woman, and it's, after all, it is, my point of view, and it wouldn't necessarily be most men's point of view. What was the song? Oh, there's a great song called Pass Me By If You're Only Passing Through that, oddly enough, a man wrote.
You know
it's a
it?
Wonderful
you know
song.
It?
Not to sing.
Oh, geez,
but I was just, in passing, I was thinking about, I know there's a song that, I know it, but not well enough to sing. I'm just learning it, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of is...
Oh, I was just curious. I don't mean that you must sing one, Micah.
Oh, let me do... This song is called Ballad of a Wanted Man, and it's on the record, and it's kind of a woman's song. It really is. Sort of about being around a man that just, he doesn't know what he wants to do, and he messes everybody else up in the process of figuring out what he wants to do.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
Yes, it does. Alone in the quiet, dark evening, I look back to where it began. It's the story my mind keeps reliving of my time with the most wanted man. From the hour we rose on that first day, our time was spent on the run, and I felt like a lady who would chance all the stay with her outlaw who lived by a gun.
place we were taking, that things could soon go out of hand. And I warned him the move he was making was unwise for a most wanted man. And I thought I saw pain in his blue eyes when someone took his words for concern. At times he was forced into telling the lies of a man who won't love in return. And he soon learns to take all he can when a man spends his life on the run. But the ladies, they longed to be with him again, each believing she'd still be the one. But his captor was somewhere inside of him, as I came so soon to understand. And I've heard I came closer than all of them to the heart of the most wanted man. What's the lesson designed by fate's reasoning for my time with the most wanted man? For my time with the most wanted man? For my time with the most wanted man? Thank you. I was at Fox Hollow this year, and Susie, who I don't know her last name, she played guitar for Frankie Armstrong with Frankie and Holly Tannen. And she says, I wrote an answer song to your Ballad of a Wild Man. I said, oh, you did? And I could not sing you the song. I wanted to get the words, and I never got around to it. But she says, I don't know any, something about no wanted man, no outlaws have blue eyes, they all have eyes like black bullet holes. Jesus, that was great. You know, it was true. I hate to, you know, plagiarize anybody, but it is a great line. I'm sure I could work it up into something. Oh, it was nice. She's a really nice person. I like
yeah,
her
they both are. Frank said, did she sing, I want to be an engineer? I'm going
oh,
to be an
yeah.
engineer.
Yeah.
I didn't get
That's
there,
a
I suppose.
Song.
Yes, it is. You know, there was a song I heard the other night that Pete Seeger sang. I was over to Williamstown where he did a concert.
Oh.
And he did a song there, and I'm just such a dumbbell. I should have taped it just to get the words. I can't find it in one of my old sing-outs. I think it's in one that was borrowed. But it's the parody to The Old Woman Who Swallowed the Fly.
Oh.
There was a young woman who swallowed a lie. Now I don't know why she swallowed a lie. Perhaps she'll die. And it goes on from there. Jeez. There was a young woman who swallowed a rule. I don't know why she swallowed the rule. She swallowed something about the rule to maintain. Oh, what was it? One thing was to maintain the other, you know, the things that they'd been taught and so on. It goes on to having swallowed the pill and swallowing the ring and the whole bit until she went to her sister's, and it wasn't too late, not too late to regurgitate, and she threw up all of these things, and, you know, it was just such a great parody. You don't know it, I take it from the
no,
faces, you're amazing. If someone can call and tell me where else I've heard it or where it might be recorded or where I could find it in print, I really would love to have it.
Sounds
now,
like a very interesting song.
It is a very interesting
Boy.
Song. A very it's a very dynamic song. It really gets you. You know, you just sit right up and take note. Each line is just so full of truth and wisdom and fun at the same time. So what else have you written that we'd like to hear? I don't want to, you know, like press you and push you. Oh, here comes Hank.
Oh,
hey, just in time. Maybe you can get into that discussion yet.
Jeez, poor David Bromberg. You can represent him. The client is not here. You can represent him.
Yeah. He's been done in
poor
enough.
David. Oh, dear. Okay, let's see. Well,
I told Jay that I'd save Circle of Friends for her. She asked me today when I got off, she said, are you going to sing Circle of Friends tonight? And I said, yeah, if you want me to, I just...
Oh, that'd be nice.
This song, I wrote this in 1972, and this is 1974. And I find that this song means as much to me now as it ever did. I have a mental block against this song. I always manage to miss a chord or forget the words or something. It's called Circle of Friends. Of you, you need them by your side. Ladies still think of you in the circle of your arms, is where they'd like to be again. And you just go round and round in your circle of friends. Ah, yes, your circle of friends. You know how a circle never ends. There's always one or two good friends around, like a back door to go to in every town. Think about you, 'cause it tears me apart. Though I know I'll be without you, it's gonna be a while before this tear inside me mends. 'Cause there's always part of you within our circle of friends. Ah, yes, our circle of friends. You know how a circle never ends. There's always one or two good friends around, like a back door to go to in every time. It's dark and empty here. Time goes by so slow. I'll never hold you near, but I know I'll need someone before this long night ends. So once again I'll turn to my circle of friends. Ah, yes, my circle of friends. You know how a circle never ends.
There's always one or two good friends around, like a back door to go to in every town, like a back door to go to in every town.
Thank you.
That is beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Huh. Well, I didn't know if there is anything else that you want to say or do or sing or what. I know you only said something about half an hour. We've gone beyond that.
Yeah, I guess we have.
As far as I'm concerned, there's no problem about staying longer. It's just up to you. We'd love to have you stay as long as you can.
Oh, maybe I'll do another song.
All right, talk you into it.
There's nothing particularly. I never know what to sing. You know, it sounds silly to say that, but a lot of times you get on, you can kind of plan, sketchily.
Right. Well, whatever you feel like and whatever, kind of hits you. Would you like to put the light on in here, or doesn't it matter?
No, that's all right.
Okay. It's gotten dark in here, folks. No, it's not your fault, Donald, that it got dark. You're not God. I think the sun is starting to go down.
Oh.
There's
a light switch
right there if you want.
Okay.
How about Let It Be Me?
Yeah.
I just tuned completely away from that tuning.
Tune from play whatever you're going to play. And then maybe you can do that too.
Okay. I'm in open C tuning. Let me do this one first, and then I'll tune back to Let It Be Me. This is called Northfield. And I wrote that last year about this time. And there's not much to say about this song. Sun is finally rising to the sky overhead. The ghosts along the roadside now lay dead. I've been on the road since late last night, like an outlaw on the run. For a while my way is lighted by the sun. 18 miles to Northfield, one more town along the line. I wish I knew how far to go to leave the pain behind. You said you need your freedom now to wander as you please, to take what life may hand you at your ease. So live your life and find your road, I'll follow this white line. And I hope you find your freedom just as empty as mine. 18 miles to Northfield, one more town along the line. I wish I knew how far to go to leave the pain behind. Mistaken going on the road this way. They say to keep my patience and to stay. They tell me
it's for sure a sign when you come to say hello. But the only sign I see tells me 18 miles to go. 18 miles to Northfield, one more town along the line. I wish I knew how far to go to leave the pain behind. I wish I knew how far to go to leave the pain behind.
It's one of these going away and looking for some place to hide from the pain, but it doesn't sound too pain. I mean, it's not a real, you know, crying, wailing song. It's just...
Well, maybe it's because nice. After everything's okay again.
Yeah.
I find that when I write songs, Circle of Friends is the only one I've ever written when I was really really upset, mm-hmm. really emotional. Because usually when I'm upset, I mean... If I sang the things that I would want to write down when I was upset, people would laugh at me because it would be terrible. You know, and I think if you talk to people, they'd probably pretty much... When you write things when a sort of feeling of calm has come over you and you feel real good and you feel able to cope with things, you know. You don't write it... I don't really think that... I mean, there's people like Bob Dylan that could sit down and write out a protest song about... something or other, but a protest song you could feel about it, but it's still not as close to you as writing a song about, you know, splitting up with somebody or something like that. And so I think you could do it, but writing a song about some, you know, when you split up with somebody, I don't know how close you could. Soon after you could write it, unless you've got things really under control. At least for that hour in your head, to write the song down. This is... I'm going to close with this song, I think. This is called Let It Be Me. It's the old Everly Brothers song. I always used to want to do Kathy's Clown. I never could understand all the words. It's not a song for a girl to sing, really. God bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you, and so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me. Each time I find complete
sweet love, without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely, tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me, and that you'll always let it be me.
I want to thank Mary McCaslin for taking the time to be with us today on Mostly Folk. Mary has a record out on Philo called Way Out West, and also she'll be appearing at the 8th Step Coffee House in Albany this coming Wednesday night and around in Vermont in the next week or two, and you lucky people up in Vermont can see her in a couple of places. Thanks very much again. I hope we'll see you the next time you come east, and so if too. Donald will put on a record now, we'll get back to that part of the program.
Traveling around just me and this old guitar, for a dollar and a dime and a glass of wine. Oh Lord, won't you help me before I lose my mind. Way back home, you know, Lord, I crave. Spends every dollar that I make, gonna drive me to my grave, my lone home. Oh, Lord, won't you help me before I'm dead and gone? Won't you help me ride this Greyhound home? Well, I hope I get to heaven in my